Hey everyone, what's going on? Welcome to a brand new edition of the Sam Bissell Podcast on the Ambiguous Podcast Solutions. And right now, we bring you the latest and greatest going on around the world of Hollywood. Hope everyone has been having a wonderful week so far. Not a whole lot went on in the world of movie news, but there are some things that I want to talk about that did go on throughout the week. I'm going to be getting into some trending trailers that came out over the last couple of days. Also, Wonder Woman 3. Is it happening? Is it not happening? I'm going to be talking about that and so much more on the podcast today. But the first thing that I do want to talk about is to kind of start in the DC universe and talk about a specific film that is actually set to come out a week from now on August 18th. And that, of course, is Blue Beetle, which stars Zola Muerta, who, if you know him from Cobra Kai, of course, then he is somebody who is really kind of an up-and-comer that is, I think, really going to shine in these next couple of years. And the really next big step for him is starring in this big DC film that's coming out, Blue Beetle. And this is kind of one that is kind of more of a B-C character that not a whole lot of people know, but it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Blue Beetle in its run, because if you look at the recent history of DC films right now in 2023, it hasn't really been kind to both Shazam! Fury of the Gods, to Flash, so we'll see if Blue Beetle is going to be able to produce anything at the box office, especially when DC is kind of in this transition period of kind of the old regime and their projects, where you had films like The Flash and kind of Blue Beetle, but Blue Beetle might also be part of this new regime that is now being headed by James Gunn and Peter Safran. So it seems like Blue Beetle is kind of caught in this transition period where it's not really connected to the DC of old, but it's not really connected to the DC of new, and it's kind of in this gray area of what it could potentially be. And from all the comments that you can gather from James Gunn, from the cast and crew, Blue Beetle, the character himself, might be an important piece in DC moving forward. But of course, when it comes to, I think, this kind of transition year for DC, what's kind of failed for The Flash and for Shazam! Fury of the Gods, it's going to be the same thing for Blue Beetle if it produces or if it fails. And that, of course, is going to be the box office, and specifically the people that go see this film, the dollar amount that people go see with Blue Beetle. Do people want this character? Are people excited about this character? And so the big thing that comes with that, along with the box office and people going to see it, of course, is the buzz. And so far, there really hasn't been anything about this film so far. But finally, today, we do get the first reactions that are coming out for Blue Beetle, as we do have the first social reactions for the film as they have officially come out for this movie. So we're going to start off with some of these reviews, starting off with Umberto Gonzalez over at The Wrap. And this is what he had to say about Blue Beetle. Blue Beetle is here, and Latinos finally have a superhero of their own reflected on the big screen. The film is so incredibly good, so unique, and delivers on all fronts, giving the superhero genre much needed sazon. The film's Tangerine Dream inspired Sinwave score also rocks. And then moving on over to some of the other reactions coming from the world of X, we're going to start and continue on with Brandon Davis over at comicbook.com. And this is what he had to say about the film. The Blue Beetle movie is mostly a blast. Some is too silly or childish for me. A lot had me laughing out loud. George Lopez, practical suit rocks. The Latino representation is awesome. Enjoy the family-centric stakes. Solid action beats. Overall, it is fun. And moving on over to Steve Weintraub, who is, of course, the editor over at Collider. And this is what he had to say about Blue Beetle. Happy to report that and Angel Manuel Soto's Blue Beetle is so much better than I expected. He's added his own flavor to the superhero genre by having the film focus on a tight-knit family and Latino culture. It's fun, extremely funny, and he got away with a few jokes that floored me. Zola Morente is perfectly cast. George Lopez made the entire theater laugh out loud many times, and the rest of the cast is excellent. Really impressed with the movie and hope it's a big hit for DC so we can see more of the Reyes family. And then the final one that I want to talk about is our good friend on the podcast over at Fandango, the one and only Eric Davis. And this is what he had to say about Blue Beetle. I had a good time with Blue Beetle. Definitely feels like a cross between Spider-Man and Ms. Marvel, where family and culture is front and center, which I personally love. Big fan of the suit and its powers offer endless initiative possibilities. Also, put George Lopez in all DC movies. I say this with all honesty. I think Blue Beetle powers are top three coolest for a DC character. I think James Gunn and team could have a field day including him in other projects. Zola Moretti crushes it in his biggest role to date. A solid origin with tons of room to grow. So, for the most part, a lot of the reviews for this movie are pretty positive. I mean, some are saying kind of mixed reactions where it wasn't their favorite thing, but overall, they had a really fun time with the film. So overall, it seems like the Blue Beetle reactions are very, very positive. And I think this is a good way to start things off for Blue Beetle, especially since as of right now, even though it seems like some of the cast did interviews pre-strike, right now during the strike period for SAG-AFTRA, a lot of these actors and the supporting characters, the main characters, are not allowed to promote the film. You do have the director going out there and doing as much as he can, but is it going to be enough to get people, are these reactions going to be enough to get people in the theaters to see this film when you still have films like Barbie, Oppenheimer, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mission Impossible 7? There's still a lot out there for people to choose from, and there's still, I think, some cautionary tales, again, going back to the recent DCU bombs, where you had films like The Flash and Shazam. Those came out with some largely positive reactions, especially The Flash came out with some great reactions, especially in its first couple out of CinemaCon in April, and people thought, and including me, that it was going to be a big hit for the summer season, that this would be a no-brainer for DC, and it turned out to be one of, and it's going to be the one of the biggest box office bombs of all time, period, stop. And so when you have a character like Blue Beetle, the Flash is considered more of a B-list character in the pantheon of DC, where you have the trinity of A-listers. That's, of course, Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman. Again, like I said before, Blue Beetle, you can maybe put him in the B category, most likely in the C category, kind of a la Guardians of the Galaxy when Marvel was first putting those characters out there and weren't the household names of Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, and Black Widow, and some of these other ones that you knew really well in the comic book world, even for general audience members. So for general people to see this film that aren't maybe connected within the DC comics, within the DC movie world, or just comic books at large, is it going to be enough to get people in seats? Are early reactions, whether they're on social media or lengthy reviews, Rotten Tomatoes, is that going to be enough to get people to see this film? And I honestly don't know what the answer for that is going to be. I'm hoping this film does good because it seems like it's a lot of fun from the reactions. And going off of the trailers, I do enjoy the family dynamic. It seems like the chemistry between the leads is really, really good. I do like the suit itself, and some of the action seems really cool, but is it going to be enough, or are people not even going to go see a fun, generic comic book movie? Is that enough to get people to see these movies anymore? Do you have to be something more to do that, like a Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse or a Guardians of the Galaxy, which is a little bit more established at this point? I think they're still up in the air about this, but no better time to put this than in August right now. And I think in the middle of August to have a comic book film like this could be a good move, could be a bad move. We'll see what happens. But I really do like the social reactions for Blue Beetle so far. But again, for this movie to really be a success, it's going to come down to the box office. And then I think the real conversation will be had of will this character, whether it's a continuation of this movie or something entirely new, but with the same actor in the role, be included in the DC universe moving forward with James Gunn's and Peter Safran's vision. So all those questions still remain in the air for this movie. But what did you guys think about the reactions for Blue Beetle? Let me know what you think down below and leave your thoughts and comments down in the section of this episode. And then staying within the DC universe, there is something else I want to talk about, and it kind of goes hand in hand with Blue Beetle a little bit, especially when it comes to the predictions or uncertainty, rather, of his future within the DC universe, especially, God forbid, hopefully it doesn't, but if it does, if the movie fails, then will we be seeing more Blue Beetle? I think the same thing can be said potentially for another Wonder Woman film. And recently, in some news has been making headlines over the last couple weeks, is the thought of Wonder Woman's future. And in recent interviews done pre-SAG-AFTRA strike, Gal Gadot is out promoting her new Netflix film, Heart of Stone, which is out on the streaming service right now, actually. And she made some interesting comments about her future in Wonder Woman. Now, for kind of some pre-background on this story, when the new era of DC was forming earlier this year with James Gunn and Peter Safran, one of the big questions, of course, was, well, if some what is going to happen with some of these projects that are still in development right now? And one of those projects was on Wonder Woman 3 with Patty Jenkins at the helm once again, and Gal Gadot starring as Diana Prince in the role, which has made her a household name in today's day and age in right now. And so there was a lot of questions about, will this movie actually happen, will it not? And so reports then came out that Wonder Woman 3 would not be moving forward in its state that it was in, with Patty Jenkins writing the script, and she amicably decided to move off of the project, and the character of Wonder Woman is going to be utilized in some other way. Now, within the announcement or the reports that Wonder Woman 3 in its state at the time was dead, there wasn't really any thought or really any confirmation that even though Patty Jenkins was moving away from the film and the franchise and the character, Gal Gadot wasn't included in that. It wasn't made aware that or really confirmed or reported that she was going to be moving forward in the role, nor was it confirmed that she was officially dead or out of the role altogether and that somebody else would be cast in this new era that is being led by a new stewardship right now in the ranks of DC. So all that was kind of up in the air. Well, Gal Gadot recently came out in these interviews that she's doing for her new film and said that basically it seems like while Wonder Woman 3, the initial version of it with Patty Jenkins, might not exist anymore, that there could be something new moving forward with her at the helm once again as Diana Prince. And so over the last week and a half, there's been a lot of speculation of, is this true? Is it not true? We really haven't heard anything from James Gunn or Peter Safran or DC overall about this. There really haven't been a whole lot of reports in regards to it until the last day or so, when it was reported by both Collider and Variety that even though Gal Gadot is making these statements and she's been saying that James Gunn, Peter Safran, they sat me down and they said, we want to move forward with you in the role. We want to have you. You're in good hands with us. I'm basically paraphrasing what she said in interviews and kind of putting these quotes all together, but basically saying, you're still our Wonder Woman and we're moving forward with you in the role. Apparently in these reports, it is being said now by reporters that that is not the case and that right now there is no such thing as Wonder Woman 3 moving forward over at DC right now. The only kind of Wonder Woman project is that Amazonian Themyscira project TV show that is going to be made for Max that is said to be kind of a Game of Thrones-ish kind of show within the DCU taking place on this island of these strong female characters that are in place there well before the time of Wonder Woman. So that's the only thing that's in development in regards to anything surrounding her neck of the woods within the DC world. And so I think it brings up, it's not even so much about, is she actually going to do it? Is she not going to do it? To me, between Blue Beetle, between Wonder Woman 3, it goes to the bigger question of what is really going to be going on with the future of DC. And even though there's new leadership in there, and I'm excited to see what's going to be happening, even though James Gunn made all these announcements for this new era, these new chapters in DC, it still feels like it's very much up in the air of what's really actually going on and what's really going to happen within the world of DC. And I don't think that's a good thing for the brand right now, because I think you're clearly seeing that films like Shazam and films like The Flash, I think it might have to do with the fact that nobody wants to see quality stuff of DC anymore, but it also might be the fact that people might not want to see this version of DC that's going to be going nowhere, which is why I fear for Blue Beetle, I fear for Aquaman in December this year, even though that film made $1 billion, are people going to be involved with this, with the, those two films, that they know that in the next couple of years it's going to be a basically a clean slate at this point? So to me, I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with DC. And I think James Gunn, Peter Safran right now, I think it's important on them to make it clear for us. And now maybe Gal Gadot is going to be the Wonder Woman moving forward. Maybe she won't be. Maybe they will find somebody else. But I think for them right now, it's more about the fact that it's being clear of what they want to instill. And maybe internally, they do have a plan. And I think at the same time, while they are creatives, or James Gunn's a creative, he's got to be a studio head now. And this is a production company. So it's a lot more that comes with just being a writer and director at this point. And so I just think it's going to be very interesting to see where this all goes. But all this does really is create more confusion. Now, for me, as much as I really enjoyed Gal Gadot in the role of Wonder Woman, I think it would be best for them to move on with Wonder Woman and basically, to me, wipe the slate clean of everything, really, and just start anew and see where it goes from there. The only things that you keep, of course, are the quote-unquote Elseworld things, which include the Joker 2 next year, and of course the Matt Reeves Batman verse. Everything else to me should be a total reboot within the interconnectivity of DC right now. And I just think that it's time. I think that these characters had their moments in the sun, and I just think you need to tether yourselves from this era. I think this era very much was an up and down road where you had some successes, you had some failures, you had some middling films throughout there, a lot of controversy involved in there as well, and it needs to start a new day, a new dawn needs to be within DC. And as much as I think Gal Gadot is, again, a great Wonder Woman, I just think that she had her time. She did a really good job in the role, whatever you think of the films, the first and second film that she was in, or her time in Justice League or Batman v Superman. I think that was great and she had it, but I think it's time for somebody else to be in that role altogether. So we'll see where it goes, but I think it's better for a new era to happen with new characters and actors involved in these roles. What do you guys think of Gal Gadot saying that there's going to be a Wonder Woman 3? And then, of course, reports saying now that there won't be a Wonder Woman 3. Let me know what you think down below and leave your thoughts. And the final bit of movie news that I want to talk about on the podcast today is to go into the world of trending trailers. And there's two trailers that I want to talk about. One that is for a very anticipated TV show that I'm looking forward to in the fall, and another one for a film that I'm very much looking forward to in the next couple of months. We're going to start out, of course, with the film trailer, and that, of course, is for the new Netflix film that was a huge Sundance hit back in January, and that is for the film Fair Play, which is directed by Chloe DeMont, and it stars Phoebe Denver and Alden Ehrenreich. And if you know those two names specifically, Phoebe Denver, of course, was made a big name through her role in specifically season one of Bridgerton, and Alden Ehrenreich is someone who has kind of been around and done some roles here and there, but of course his biggest role to date is playing a younger Han Solo in Solo: A Star Wars Story. But also recently he had a terrific supporting role in Christopher Nolan's new film Oppenheimer, which I highly suggest you check out. He's very good in that film, and kind of one that falls under the radar a little bit in terms of just the big ensemble that's in that film, but he has a really good role in the movie, even though it's a very small supporting role. It's a very good one. And so this is a film, going back to Fair Play, reading the synopsis for the film, it's basically in the reminiscent of a 90s nail-biting thriller that basically juxtaposes a premarital disharmony with greed and gender politics in the cutthroat finance world. And I remember hearing about this film when it played at Sundance, and it got a big investment within Netflix to basically distribute the film. It got around a $20 million deal from the streaming service for the debut on its platform, and I really was looking forward to this one, and there weren't any kind of big, buzzy projects coming out of Sundance this past year, but one of the ones that, again, was getting a lot of attention was this movie, and so I was really excited to see more about it before it debuted on wherever it was going to debut, now again being on Netflix, and finally seeing the trailer this week, I really enjoyed and am excited about this film. I think when you have a film like this, it's important to have chemistry between the two leads, and again, just going by this two and a half minute trailer, I really do buy into the chemistry that Phoebe Denver and Alden Ehrenreich have, where it does seem like they have this budding romance that is kind of cut at the knees by like what the synopsis says, which is kind of the cutthroat world of finance, basically within the world of Wall Street. And it looks really, really interesting, and it does have that kind of thriller aspect that feels like a throwback, has that kind of sleek, sexy style that you don't really see from a lot of thrillers nowadays in this vein, and I'm excited about it. Again, the chemistry between the two is important. It looks fun and interesting. It's not going to be an Oscar film, but I do think if you're looking for something to watch in the fall that's not in theaters, but you can watch it at home, whether it's with a loved one or by yourself with a group of friends, this one seems like one to enjoy, and I've heard really good things coming out of Sundance for this film, so I'm really looking forward to it. It does have a limited theatrical run happening in September before hitting Netflix on October 13th, so if you're looking for something to watch in the month of October that's not spooky season, this seems like one that could really do the deal, and I really did like the trailer, really worked for me, and I'm looking forward to this one on the 13th of October. Then the second and final trailer in our trending trailer segment is, of course, the TV one, and it is one that I'm very, very excited about because I'm in love with the franchise, and that, of course, is from the world of John Wick comes The Continental, and the basic synopsis for this show, basically, this kind of mini-series, this three-parter, to be more specific, is that it tells the background story of how Winston Scott, who is, of course, in the John Wick film, is played by Ian McShane. Winston Scott, in alternate history 1970s, comes to his position as proprietor of the New York branch of the Continental chain of hotels, safe havens for legal assassins on the grounds of which no business may ever take place. It explores variations on real-world events, including the winter of discontent and the American mafia's rise to economic power. So basically, this is a show that I've been, again, very much looking forward to. It's really kind of been through production hell for the last couple of years. I remember at one point this show was supposed to be on Stars. It was supposed to be on multiple different streaming services until it finally landed on Peacock. And this is one that I'm looking forward to because it's really going to, I think, showcase the strength of the John Wick franchise. And it is a franchise because it's had now four films which have made more and more money as the films have come out, the John Wick Chapter 4 being the latest to be the highest grossing installment in the franchise and probably the best film in the franchise overall. It's phenomenal. And for this, it's going to be very interesting to see how a TV show is going to be able to do within the world of John Wick, but also how is this franchise going to function if, let's say, we don't get any more John Wick films with Keanu Reeves, but we do continue to be involved in this universe. Because I think the one great thing about the John Wick universe as a whole is that from the very first film, one of the great things about that movie is how Chad Stahelski and the directors of these movies did an incredible job on those films. And I'm blanking on the second director's name right now, which I will pull up in 1 second. David Leitch. David Leitch is the second director of this, of the John Wick film, the first John Wick film, along with Chad Stahelski. And they basically created, alongside creating a new form of action in Gun Fu, is basically create this whole world of assassins, basically, and how the world of the Continental works and how the currency is different, the world is different, the rules are different, and that within the greater world of society lives this own little world of assassins and the way that they operate and the way that the mythology has kind of evolved over the last couple of movies with the High Table, the way that Winston Duke's character is kind of different in a way, and the way that Ian McShane's character is able to kind of take himself and evolve with the films as well has been really interesting, along with the character John Wick and all the new interesting adversaries that he meets in each and every one of those films has all been really, really kind of fascinating. And so for a show like The Continental, before you even get a spin-off film with Ballerina, which will showcase Ian McShane and Keanu Reeves once again in those roles and very minor appearances since that film will be led by Ana de Armas, this is going to be the first example and evidence of how this world can survive without John Wick in the lead role and how the mythology of this world is able to be the linchpin moving forward if you want to do more spin-off shows, spin-off movies that don't include the main character in the title of the film. And just going off of the trailer, it looks really fun. It looks like what I would expect a John Wick style project to look like. I think the action looks really, really good. I like the cast. Colin Woodall is playing a younger Winston Scott. And of course, probably the big name in this show is Mel Gibson, who seems to be playing the main villain in this show. And it looks like a lot of fun. It definitely has that kind of 1970s aesthetic, which fits this world. And I'm excited to kind of see what life was like as an assassin back in the day, and seeing more of Winston's background a little bit, and seeing who he was and how he became who he becomes in the John Wick movies is very, very interesting. And I think the fact that this is only three parts, I think is going to be very, I'm very curious to see what the run times for these are going to be, and how much story they're going to pack into these three parts is going to be very interesting, because you know how I feel about Marvel and the way that they've been able to kind of not do a great job of telling a full story within these six episode series that they do. So to do this in three parts, I think if they're able to tell the full story within those three parts, more power to them, instead of fleshing this out for 6-8 episodes. If you're able to do it within three, as long as you can tell a great story and keep me entertained, I'm all for it. And the trailer does that. I'm excited to see this show, and we'll see where it leads us. But Continental, from the world of John Wick, has me very interested, and I'm excited to see where this all goes with the trailer. The show does begin. Its series season premiere is on September 22nd, and it'll go until the first weekend of October. So we'll see how this all does, but the trailer does have me excited for this show. What do you guys think about these two trailers, Fair Play and The Continental, from the world of John Wick? Let me know what you think down below and leave your thoughts. And the final thing that I want to talk about on the podcast today, even though we are in the month of August now, and I didn't really want to get into my August preview since films are coming out right now, and there's not really anything big coming out this weekend. I'll start up again the weekend previews next week, but since we're in the middle of August right now, we're not towards the end of the summer season yet. I'll do my full rankings on my favorite summer movie season films of 2023 toward the end of August into early September. I did want to do, however, my favorite films of July. And July was jam-packed with awesome movies that came out during July 2023. It's probably one of the best months of the year, obviously, with Barbenheimer. The box office has been absolutely rip-roaring with amazing films that have come out over the last couple of weeks. And I wanted to do a top four of my favorite films from July of this year. I'm going to go from four to one. And I don't think people will be surprised at what number one is, but I'm still going to go from four to one. And my number four film that I really enjoyed in the month of July was actually the first thing I saw in July. And that, of course, was Joyride, which stars people such as Ashley Parker, Sherry Cola. You also have Stephanie Hsu, who recently got an Oscar nomination for her role in Everything Everywhere All at Once. And it was a real true kind of throwback to the very raunchy hard R comedies that I remember seeing in the early 2010s, late 2000s, like The Hangover and Step Brothers, that I really enjoyed and haven't really seen a whole lot of. And I feel like comedies are very much the kryptonite within Hollywood right now, where it's very, I wouldn't say taboo, but if you basically put out a comedy in theaters, it's not going to do so well. And unfortunately, Joyride didn't do well at the box office, but it's one that I would very much recommend people go check out if it's still in theaters right now, or once it comes out on VOD, digital, wherever you can watch it at home. I highly recommend checking it out because it is a great time. The leading ladies are absolutely incredible. They have amazing chemistry together. There's some great kind of surprises that happen that will just put you over your chair, basically. And it's just a great, fun, enjoyable time that I recommend checking out with your friends. Maybe not so your family, unless your family is a little bit older, but I definitely recommend checking that film out when you get a chance. Number three for me for the month of July was Barbie. This is one that I was very much looking forward to. It was my number eight most anticipated film of 2023, and for the most part, it did not disappoint. I think through and through, this was a fun, enjoyable film for everyone to truly go see. I think Greta Gerwig did an impeccable job in both the writing and the direction for this film. I thought it would kind of lost itself in the middle there, but both the beginning and the ending really gets the audience to understand the message that's trying to send. I thought there were some really cool twists and turns and subversions that were made in this film that I think really, really did work. I think the production design on the world of Barbie Land, the dream houses, was just incredible. And I think the leading performances were immaculate. I think Margot Robbie was fantastic. And even though the film is called Barbie and it's about the feminist power of women and what women can do, the guy stole the show, I think. And that, of course, is Ryan Gosling. But I don't think anyone really has a problem with that, because Ryan Gosling is that good. And he really does, I think, a performance that if you've seen his other films in recent years and you know the serious performer that he can be, this is a complete true 180 from what he's done in the past. And if you're somebody who has followed his work, you're seeing a completely different side of Ryan, of what Ryan Gosling can do, that is just absolutely incredible. He's funny. He's just dim-witted in the best way possible. He plays Ken to perfection. He really steals every scene that he is in. America Ferrera is, I think, amazing. This Kate McKinnon as well is amazing. But overall, I really had a great time with this. It was just a fun theater to be around. And it's doing great numbers at the box office. I mean, over $1 billion right now worldwide. It is now going to be the second highest grossing film of 2023. Already one of the top highest grossing films of all time, both worldwide and domestically. It has a shot right now to potentially eclipse the Super Mario Brothers as the highest grossing film of 2023, which Mario has $1.3 billion, but we'll see if Barbie can eclipse that in the rest of August. But overall, I had a great time with this film and really enjoyed it. Unfortunately, just couldn't knock off these other two films that I had in my top two. And at number two is Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning Part One. This film was my number two most anticipated film of 2023, and like Barbie, it lived up to my expectations. I was very much looking forward to this film. I'm a huge fan of not just Top Gun Maverick from last year, and this isn't just a hangover effect from that film, but I'm somebody who also has been a huge fan of the Mission Impossible franchise for a long, long time. Not just a fan of the TV show, but of these movies, and the last couple of films have just been all-time great action films, from Rogue Nation, Fallout, and a lot of that has to do with the combination of both Tom Cruise and writer-director Christopher McQuarrie, and they step it up once again in this film. I think the story in this one is pretty good. I even though some people I think have a might not like the villain in this one when it's dealing with kind of artificial intelligence, especially in the world that we deal with today, I thought it was brilliant, and I'm very interested to see how the story wraps up with part two. I do love the cast in this film. I think Tom Cruise, you know, is great. Simon Pegg, Vin Rames, they've been in this franchise before. They're amazing. But Rebecca Ferguson the same way. But it's the newcomers that really do shine. Specifically, I think Hayley Atwell gives probably, for me, in the films that I've seen her in, the best performance of her career. It's the best thing that I've ever seen her in. Even though she's been Peggy Carter, and I love the character of Peggy and how she plays it, this is the best thing I've ever seen her do. And she really acts as kind of like a co-lead to Tom Cruise in this film. Even though it's Tom Cruise and it's Ethan Hunt, she really is kind of a co-star, not even a supporting player, a true co-star, I felt like, in this movie. She does a lot of the stunts with Tom in the film that they perform together. She has an amazing character arc. I really enjoyed her character. And I think one of the great things that Mission has done throughout the years, along with Rebecca Ferguson's character, even to someone like Henry Cavill's villain in Fallout, to what Hayley Atwell does with Grace in this one, they're able to just create great characters within a film. That doesn't take you over time to enjoy character within, I would say within an hour of this movie, I was already in love with the character of Grace and who she was and her growth and development as the movie progresses, really. And again, it's very much her film as it is Ethan Hunt. So to me, the stunts in this one are incredible. The action is immaculate. Even though it runs, I think, a little bit over, I do think that this is a film that earns a lot of its runtime and is one that I definitely think you can see over and over and over again. But to me, it can knock off the number one film of this year for me, which I will say right now, overall in 2023, this film is my favorite movie of the year so far. And that, of course, is Oppenheimer, written, directed by Christopher Nolan, telling the life of J. Robert Oppenheimer. specifically in the creation of the atom bomb, the Trinity test, the Manhattan Project, really tells the story of that event within Oppenheimer's life and is the main driving force behind it. It has an incredible cast of Cillian Murphy, who delivers a career best performance in, as Oppenheimer. Same thing with Robert Downey Jr., who delivers as Louis Strauss, Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, Florence Pugh, Benny Safdie, Rami Malek, Josh Hartnett. I just mentioned before Alden Ehrenreich. The list goes on and on and on for who's in this film. And even though if they're in it for just a little bit, they deliver great performances. I love the writing in this one. I think it delivers on everything you know a Nolan film to do, especially when it comes to time and how he deals with time within this film. But I think also the fact that this really is a true 3-hour biopic, but it feels somewhat like a thriller. And I remember seeing this for the first time, and I was absolutely enthralled with almost every single second of this movie from beginning to end. It didn't feel like 3 hours, even though it felt long. It felt like 2.5 hours. That's still a long movie for a lot of people, but given the fact that this is a 3-hour film, it felt basically shorter than I thought it would be. It felt like I was only in there for 2.5 hours, and I could have had more of this movie. The score by Ludwig Göransson is incredible. The visuals are amazing. The cinematography by Hoyt Van Hoyne is impeccable. The whole film from beginning to end is just absolutely amazing. I've seen this film twice. Probably going to see it at least one more time this summer in 70mm IMAX. Hopefully, if not, then just plain old IMAX or in plain old 70mm. But I will be going to see this film at least one more time in theaters. That's how much I enjoyed it. But those are my top 4 films of the month of July. Joyride, 3 Barbie, 2 Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, and coming at number 1 is Oppenheimer. What were your favorite films of the month of July? Again, I'm not even mentioning some of the other films that came out that were a part of the list. There's a lot of them. You have Insidious, The Red Door. You have Sound of Freedom, which was a big hit in the month of July. You also had films such as Haunted Mansion and so much more. But which ones were your favorite? Let me know down below and leave your thoughts. And with that down and out of the way, that will do it for this edition of the Sam Bissell Podcast. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to check out my channel for more content. Excuse me. You can check me out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, SoundCloud, and much more. Also, make sure to tune in onto the Ambiguous Podcast Solutions, and be sure to check out the other amazing shows that are on here, such as You Mad Bro, the number one source to see what the internet is pissed off about on a weekly basis. Also, make sure to check out Goal Driven Professionals, geared toward improving client relations, return on investment, and customer acquisition costs for independent businesses and services. Also, make sure to check out The Daily Grind, a weekly motivational podcast with Kelly Johnson, giving you everyday tips and key takeaways on reaching your goals. Also, along the way, make sure to check out these other amazing shows on the Podcast Solutions, such as Wrestle Attic Radio, WrestleMania Podcast, and Midnight Showing. You can check these out and so much more on the website, ambiguouspodcastsolutions.com, also on Facebook and Twitter at RealAmbiguous. And if you want to check out Canterbury Treehouse, use the coupon code AMBIGUOUS. Also, when you get a chance, make sure to follow me on social media. Find me on Twitter at BissellSamuel. It's BUSSELLSAMUEL. And also on Facebook at Sam Bissell. Once again, everyone, have an amazing, amazing weekend. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, keep on screening.